More than a month after Iran's disputed election, human rights groups are still trying to track Iranians thrown in jail. It's hard to get reliable information, but this morning we'll talk about who a few of those prisoners are.
Karim Sajidpour analyzes Iranian affairs at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Steve. It's
and
a pleasure.
We should mention you know some of the people who've been detained, and that includes some people who are familiar to listeners of this program, like the first one we'll talk about, a man named Bijan Khajapour. Who is he?
Bijan is a very close friend of mine, and he's one of the most decent individuals I know. And I think he was really the last independent-minded Iranian intellectual, Iranian analyst based in Tehran, who would continue to travel to Europe and the United States and explain contemporary Iran for people.
And just so that we're clear on why we're saying he's in custody, you yourself have heard from his family that they believe that he is in custody in Iran.
Yeah, we know that he had gone to the UK, the United Kingdom, for a business trip. And when he came back to the airport in Tehran, he was detained. And this was about 2 weeks ago. And we haven't heard from him since.
Now, listeners to this program have heard from Bijan Khajapour. He was on the air as recently as last February when we were talking about Iran's Islamic Revolution, which was then 30 years old. Here's some of what he said.
I see the Islamic Republic of Iran as a human being that was born in 1979. And it was very naughty as a child and made a lot of mistakes in its first decade of life. And today, it's 30 years old and it's settling down. It's getting married and, you know, finding a house.
This guy didn't seem like a radical. He seemed very optimistic about the Islamic Revolution and the direction it was heading.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I think a lot of people would look to Bijan and say that he articulated Iran's national interests far better than Iranian officials themselves ever did. So he was actually a real asset to the Iranian government because he did it in a way which was very thoughtful, wasn't ideological. And he had tremendous respect from his peers and senior government officials throughout the world.
Now, here's another person who may be familiar to our listeners. In February, we did a story about Iran's most famous poet, an epic poet who wrote hundreds of years ago, but his most famous book is still in Iranians' homes all across the country, and that includes the home of Saeed Laylas.
Even Islamic Revolution couldn't be able to destroy his poems. They tried, but they didn't be successful. You know, even now, when I'm talking about Ferdowsi, I'm excited.
We should mention that Saeed Laylas also commented on politics. He'd been in government. He commented for us in the days before the election about how people seemed to be turning against the regime. But how politically active was he, Karim Sajidpour?
In the last few years, he had been outspokenly critical of Ahmadinejad's government. But certainly in the past, as you said, he was a senior government official. And it's quite incredible now to think that someone like Saeed Laylas, who was, you know, amongst the political elite in Iran, there's accusations that he's being tortured in prison.
Those accusations, where do they come from?
There's a European government which has challenged a lot of the official statistics which have come out. They estimate that several hundred have been killed and several thousand have been imprisoned. And some of the accusations and allegations of torture we're hearing from European diplomats on the ground in Tehran.
I want to bring up another name here, Kian Tajbakhsh. Am I saying that correctly?
Perfect.
Who is he?
Kian is also a good friend of mine. He is a Columbia University trained sociologist. And he chose to move back to Iran in the late 1990s. And he, like Bijan, I truly respected them because they could have easily made their lives outside of Iran. Kian has had numerous offers to teach in Ivy League universities. And despite the fact that he was imprisoned in 2007, he served 4 months in solitary confinement. When he came out, his family begged him to come back and live in the United States. And he said, no, Iran is my home.
Even though he's an American citizen, he could come back.
Exactly. Even though he's an American citizen, he said, Iran is my home. I haven't done anything wrong and I want to remain here.
And so what is the information that you've heard about him?
Well, we know that he was taken from his home last week by Revolutionary Guardsmen. And they violently ransacked his apartment in front of his wife and his 1.5-year-old daughter. And what we know is that he is in solitary confinement in Evin prison. And there's deep concern that this time around things could be different, whereas 2 years ago they didn't use methods such as tortures. There's a lot of concern this time around from the family that maybe the measures taken in prison are going to be more violent.
Given that we don't have a complete list, do you see any pattern in who's being arrested and who's being released and who's not being touched?
Well, one pattern certainly is that the Iranian government wants to essentially decapitate any alternatives to themselves. And individuals like Bijan and Kian and Saeed Leilaz. None of these individuals were politically active. Certainly they commented about politics, but they don't have any political constituency. And in many ways, they were great explainers of the Islamic Republic to the outside world.
One other thing I want to ask about, because you are talking with us in public about people who you know, whose families you've been in contact with. And when someone gets taken into custody by an authoritarian government, there's always the question that comes up, should we publicize this? Could that actually add to the danger they face? What are the families telling you what they want done?
What we've learned the last few years is that when people have been taken into custody and we haven't said anything, there's no cost for the Iranian government to continue to hold on to them. The Iranian Nobel laureate Shirin Ebadi, the great human rights worker, has always said that when people are imprisoned, you have to act, you have to speak out, or else the government will continue to hold on to them.
Karim Sajapour of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace here in Washington, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
We have reached out to Iran's mission to the United Nations in New York City, asking for information about these prisoners or the charges against them, and we will let you know what we hear when we hear it.